Hello and welcome to our Secular Overeaters podcast series, where you'll hear from speakers who have found recovery from food and other addictions without God. For additional information, go to secularovereaters.org. And now let's get to today's podcast.
Welcome to the Secular Overeaters Comparative 12-Step Study Group. Again, my name is Jenny, and I am the facilitator for today. The purpose of the group is to discuss the 12 steps, one at each meeting, and to share our personal experiences with the step or anything related to the theme of the step. Many of us are inspired by the 12-step approach, but find that some of the original language and concepts don't align with our personal beliefs. During this meeting, we will read several different interpretations of the steps and discuss, as the varied individuals we are, what makes sense to us and what helps our recovery. As always, please take what you like and leave the rest. This group does allow crosstalk, but please make sure it's supportive. This month, we're going to be discussing step 9, and we have a guide that Dina will put a link to in the chat if you want to follow along. We will be reading 8 versions of the step: the OA Traditional, the Free Thinker, Buddhist, Cleveland, Atheist, Humanist, Practical, Proactive, and the SOS Secular Organization for Sobriety. These sources can be found in the literature and websites listed in the chat and in the guide link. Please take a turn reading a version of the step and say pass when you are finished. I will call on hands in the order they are raised. So thank you. Sheila, you can get us started.
Step 9 versions, OA, Principle, Love. Traditional OA and Free Thinker made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Buddhist made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. In addition, made a conscientious effort to forgive all those who harmed us. Pass.
Thanks, Margie. Go ahead.
Cleveland, whenever possible, we will carry out unconditional amends to those we have hurt, including ourselves, except when to do so would cause harm. Humanist, we shall do all we can to make amends in any way that will not cause further harm. Practical, determine the best way to make amends to those we had harmed. Pass.
All right. And Liam, can you finish off the last two for us?
Proactive. I apply these new mindful behaviors in my everyday life. I sincerely apologize to people I have hurt, except when counterproductive. SOS. I will make direct amends as I deem appropriate and not injurious to those whom I have harmed or negatively impacted, and to myself.
Thank you. All right. So we are now open for discussion about the steps. What does step 9 mean to you, and what are your impressions of the different versions we just read? A link to the screen share handout is in the chat. It's on page 22 of the guide if you want to open that up. Please raise your hand when you're ready for a turn. Well, I might just start us off. I feel like a lot of these are pretty much the same, you know, going to talk to people about the harms that you had caused them in the past, from the past. I do really like that the Cleveland version emphasizes making amends to ourselves, because I wasn't really aware of that as an option the first time I did the steps, but it really resonates with me with just, you know, all my different behaviors I've had over time. You know, things like just the fact that I was a really shy, reticent person for most of my life, and how that kept me from, you know, I was scared to do things, and it kind of kept me from other kinds of experiences and relationships. So I feel like after working the steps, you know, I started getting a little bit stronger around these kind of things. So that was an example for me of making amends to myself. And I also like the proactive version where he's talking about, I apply these new behaviors to my everyday life. I sincerely apologize to people I've hurt, except when counterproductive. I really like the idea of making living amends, which, you know, it's not just like amends is not just saying you're sorry, but it's about changing your behavior. And I don't really feel like that's emphasized a lot or at all really in the traditional version of the steps. But I'm doing this because I want to be the best me I can be, and maybe a little kind of up my game. And it's really about changing my behaviors about things. So I will pass, and Candace, go ahead.
Candace, a compulsive eater and food addict. Thank you for your share, Jenny. I think the one that resonated most with me was the Buddha, where it talks about making a conscientious effort to forgive those who have harmed you. And for my personal journey, I know I struggle a lot with the anger I feel for the things that happened to me in my life and the things that happened to me in my childhood that no children should ever have to experience. And I think a lot of the anger I harbor is what ultimately makes me slip up sometimes. I talk with my therapist and my friends about this constantly, about how I just have so much anger in me. And I think in learning to forgive others for harming me, as well as learning to forgive myself, therein lies my recovery. So thank you for allowing me to share.
Thanks, Candace. Dina.
Thank you, Dino, compulsive eater and sugar addict and binge eater. I like the practical and the proactive. The practical determined the best way to make amends to those we have harmed. For me, what I like about that is to remind me not to be impulsive and just do something because I am now in that step or it looks like the best thing to do. I like the fact that it says determined to really think about it, to ponder it, to really be sure about what the best ways must be. And if I don't do it immediately now that I'm aware of it for the past, then I can take my time to think a bit and do it properly. And then the proactive for today and my life that I'm living now, new mindful behaviors in my everyday life. What I find is that I'm more conscious in preventing harm through keeping my own anger in myself and at bay and handle it in a much more constructive manner. So I find that I don't lash out at the people around me as often as I did. And I'm also more aware of where I subconsciously and innocently harmed others or said something that may have hurt, and that the apology that I then give is really sincere. And I've noticed that in myself, I feel better when I do that. And I feel much more at peace with my environment and my friends, my family, and myself in the fact that I can see that there were changed behaviors and relationships with people where I picked up threads. It's beautiful. And I can talk and share and laugh in a much deeper and more meaningful way than what I did. So where I was quite scared in the beginning and everybody talk about the amends, I can see it now as a progress in myself and helping my disease and helping me as a fuller human being. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Dina. So, right now, I'd love to have people raise their hand and read some of these insights. Thanks, Sheila. You can get us started.
Okay. Beth H., many of our amends will be living amends. We are learning how to treat ourselves better. We will replace our critical voice with affirmations. We will not do any more dangerous, reckless behaviors that show little regard for our health, lives, and others. Page 123. Martha Cleveland and Arliss G. Amends are unconditional. We make them with no strings attached. We admit to another that we did a hurtful thing to him or her. We commit ourselves to not doing it again, and we don't do it again. If we do do it again, our amend is worthless, and we have to start over. And Stephanie Covington, To begin making amends, look at each name on your list and decide what you need to do to recreate the best possible relationships with that person. A direct discussion may be the best approach in some cases. In others, you may make living amends by practicing new behavior. Your amends may be as simple as adopting a new attitude towards someone on your list. Or it might mean not including a certain person in your life anymore. Each situation is unique. No two amends are alike. Page 138. Pass.
Thank you. Candace, would you mind reading the rest of them?
Sure. Candace still. Jeffrey Munn. Making amends is about doing the right thing so that we can become people of integrity and clearing our conscience of guilt and shame so that we can walk around feeling free and unburdened by our past. It's about healing ourselves just as much as it's about repairing the damage we've inflicted on others. Page 99. OA 12 and 12. The ninth step specifically warns us of the danger of doing more harm than good as we face people directly and talk with them about hurtful situations of the past. For this reason, many of us have found it advisable to discuss the actions we are about to take with another person who has already taken the step, an advisor who has personal experience with the 12-step way of life, or preferably our sponsors. Page 64. Serge Prengel, an apology that is just an apology without changing behavior is nice, but not that great. It is much better to change how you act so that the apology corresponds to a genuine change. From now on, you are going to behave differently, not because you're going to force yourself to, but because you're a changed person and you can now act differently naturally. Page 54. Thank you.
Thanks, Candace. So now we are open to discussion about these different interpretations. And of course, these are just a few sentences out of these books, and you can find out more if you want to read these books later on, but we're just going to discuss what we have today. Margie.
So I really like that it says making amends is about doing the right thing so we can become people of integrity and clearing our conscience and guilt and shame. That being said, I think that's about forgiveness more than the making amends. I think that in forgiving people, we become people of integrity and clearing our conscience and guilt and shame. And in forgiving people, sometimes we feel the need to make amends in some manner. But the actual, deciding to make amends with somebody, I feel is really about the other person. It's really about, primarily, I would say, it's about repairing that relationship as you can. So that's more like Martha Cleveland. Amends are unconditional. We make them with no strings attached. So yeah, there's two pieces to this. We're making amends, but we're also, I think the forgiveness is also very helpful. The forgiveness is how it helps us. And oftentimes, as you make amends, you can and talk to somebody, talk it through, it's easier to forgive. Just my thoughts.
Thanks, Margie. Dina.
Two sentences really struck me. The first was from Beth H. We will not do any more dangerous, reckless behaviors that show little regard for our health, lives, and others. It just struck me as such a big responsibility that I take on if I work with this step and our program. It's really about not living recklessly because what I do doesn't really affect only me. It does affect those around me. Yes, I can say if I'm sick, it's me that's sick, but it affects my carer, it affects my household, it may affect people that love me. So immediately there's this wide circle upon circle. And it is only after I started this program that I really realized how wide some of these circles might go if I harm myself and how it harms others because I'm not doing the best for myself and therefore also sometimes physically and sometimes unintentionally not doing the best for others. And with that, Martha Cleveland, the last sentence, if we do it again, our amend is worthless and we have to start over. And I just went, ouch. And it just, what I've said earlier, the responsibility that, yes, I might be sincere, but how sincere am I in the program? How sincere am I about my own healing process if I get to the point of doing it again and again? And I say that also coming from a divorce, that if I had discovered this program before, if I knew about my disease before, I would have been such a different person in the relationship with so much more empathy and concern for my family, my ex. But I didn't. I forgave myself for that. We're in a good place. But yes, it's such a responsibility going forward and living every day with the living amends and living with this responsibility. And I decided I'm going to type these two sentences and put it on my notice board for the week just to remind me again of what I heard today, that it doesn't just go in here and out there, and I just don't do anything about it. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Dina. Maria, go ahead.
Then this is something that's been on my mind a lot. I'm trying to figure out how to put something behind me and kind of, I say, land it. And I thought a lot about that. I had somebody ask me for forgiveness, but just kind of like barrel into my life and ask for forgiveness, and that was very unsettling. So I think a lot about that when I've done the steps a couple of times, and when I come to nine, I'm like, And I think the one that is the surge, it's the whole thing of not to change your behavior. And that's also one, a thing that I'm struggling with right now. Now that I, it's not a forgiveness thing, but like changing the behavior is the goal, and it's so hard to do. It's really, really, really hard to do. But I feel like, for me, the real forgiveness or amendment is to change the behavior, to not do something again. And even if it's just for myself, that I know that I change my behavior. I don't necessarily have to go out and announce that to the person or persons involved, or to anybody else. And so I have two tracks in my head right now, but yeah. So anyway, I'm going to stop there. Thank you for holding space, and thank you for service.
Thanks, Maria. I'm going to take a turn. I really appreciate what everyone has said so far. And one of the things that I was thinking about is how important it was for me to talk over making amends with my sponsor before doing this. And because having someone with a different perspective be able to hear, what I'm thinking about is really good, because I'm still kind of, stuck in my own, possibly kind of sick brain, and also, my perspective is my own narrow one. And so it was so helpful to hear what she had to say about things. And, we don't all have sponsors, but maybe we have therapists, or we have friends, or, other people that maybe other people in the program that we could rerun things by, because I've certainly gotten a lot of new ideas. And when I've talked with other people about it. And I think that that's one of the whole tenets of 12-step programs, is that this is, a we program. We're here to help each other. We can't do this alone. And since we're not out there praying to God for answers, it's good to turn to other people. And I was just thinking about, for me, I didn't really have, a lot of like really horrible things that I had done. But there were things that were just really weighing on me, like actions that I had taken in the past that I just felt really a lot of shame or guilt over. And it was really good, to talk to my sponsor about some of these things. And she was able to say things like, well, most people do that, or that happens a lot, and it kind of helped me see that, it wasn't just me being terminally, unique or whatever, but that I was just, like other people, and sometimes I made mistakes. And, if there was a possibility of saying I'm sorry to someone, sure, but a lot of the things I had done were just things that people just do, and not that that gives people a pass, but they weren't, it kind of lifted some of my shame and some of my fear around it to know that I wasn't, the only person doing that. And I think we, that was great about coming into OA to find out, like, oh, there's other people here who, hide all their garbage because they don't want people to know that they've been, overeating and eating whole packages of cookies or something. Anyway, I'll pass.
My interpretation of the step nine and making amends is even if you don't have anything directly related to your overeating disease or compulsive disease, none of us have lived a fully pious life. There are things we have done that we need to apologize for. And I think for people that it's not directly a result of the disease, it's still a way to further improve yourself. That's the name of the game with these steps, is we're constantly improving ourselves. So I think that would be a good way to maybe look at it, is just like the general things to make amends for if it's not a specific of the overeating and compulsion. So that's my interpretation of that. Thank you.
And thank you, Candice. And Maria.
No, the way I look at this step nine is more me to me. I don't necessarily need to go out and find people who I feel that I have harmed with my eating. But there's two things here again. But there is the part where, I've canceled plans with people because I wanted to be home eating, or I felt that I was too fat to go out. I have transfer that way of eating to, in some sense, to my kids. And yes, but for me, the step nine is for me to me to take an inventory. I forgot which step, if that's the 12th alternative step or which step that is from. But that is to take inventory and to keep taking inventory of what it is that I'm doing. Is it serving me? Is it not serving me? Is it time to let go of this behavior? Is it not time to let go of this behavior? And so it falls a little bit there to say, I really, we do that in the beginning to say, hey, things that don't, it's going to be, I'm going to, start this 12 step. I'm going to do this too, because how I have lived doesn't serve me anymore. But specifically in step nine, I think it has to do with really taking a look in the mirror and say, like, what am I doing? How am I living my life? And how is it affecting me and people around me? And I think that it's, so that's how it works for me. It's not necessarily to go out and say anything to other people or involve them. Like, I haven't brought it up with my kids because I don't want to really make that a focal point for them, but I am talking about that I, I'm talking about but not talking about. I'm not going to say please forgive me, but I'm saying, like, hey, I realized that my Friday snack that was so fun maybe wasn't so fun. So think about that when you are planning your Friday snack, that maybe that way of just indulging in tons and tons and tons of food. Like, I used to, because it was my alibi, I used to load up the crowd counters with stuff. So, and then talk about that, say, hey, maybe that's not the way to do it. So, this is how I'm going to do it now. It's different. Anyway, if that makes sense. I'm a little scattered. But anyway, thank you again for holding space.
Thanks, Maria. Margie.
I wanted to get back to the last line of Martha Cleveland. If we do it again, we have to start over. Our amend is worthless. The Buddhists have a concept of karma, which is, people think karma means something different in the United States, but basically, whenever you do something wrong, or wrong being difficult to define in and of itself, but whenever you do something that harms somebody, say, you need to try to fix it, but you also, you can't ever really fix it. You have that karma, and you need to clean up that karma. And what they say is that, a lot of times you go around and you're hurting people, you're oblivious, and it comes back, and you have to clean up karma that you made accidentally. But when you know something is wrong and you still do it, it's really harder to clean up that karma. That's really harder to clean up, to fix again. And I think that's what Martha Cleveland is trying to get at. And since I've adopted that idea, which I think I wish I'd come to 20 or 30 years ago in my life, I have become more of what I believe, well, somebody said earlier about how everything that I do and every decision that I make really does affect a whole community of people. And I used to just think I would just do myself for myself and not hurt anybody else, but just do my own thing. And that would be fine. But that's actually not the way it works at all. I mean, everything, whether or not I'm look after myself, or it's important to look after myself, but I also need to think about how it's affecting the whole community. And it's really, I think now about everything I do, everything I decide to do, it's like I'm throwing a pebble in a pond and the pond is getting ripples and ripples are reaching out to all these different people. And what I try to do is calm the pond. I'm kind of in the point of my life where I'm like, what can I do to calm down the pond? Because everybody seems to be just throwing rocks in it all the time. And so now that I've thought that that's the case, that this is the role I should have as an older person, rather than just speaking my mind, which is what a lot of older women do, they feel like they have to speak up. And I think that that's appropriate too, but I don't think that's who I am anymore. I'm trying to calm the pond. Now, when I do throw a rock, I do realize that it's a harder thing for me to clean up. So I think that's what she's getting at with that sentence. She's not saying that your amend was worthless. She's just saying that you have to start over and it's going to be harder this time. You know, you're going to feel more guilt about what you did because you knew that you shouldn't have done it. So that's just my thought. Thank you. I hope that calmed the pond.
Marty, I also want to just now, after hearing other people speak, kind of follow up a little bit on that too, is that I know, like, when I made an amends to my son about, I have a lot of jealousy over his bonus mom and the amount of time that he spends with her. And I, you know, would be making snarky comments or whatever, because I don't really get along with this person. And, you know, he didn't need to hear that shit. Like, I just should keep it to myself. And so I made an amends to him. You know, I'm really sorry that I'm bad mouthing her and I just won't do that again. You know, that's not fair to you. And I'm, you know, sorry if this has been hurtful and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, a few weeks later, I'm doing it again, you know, and it's kind of like I haven't changed that behavior yet, you know, and maybe part of it is maybe I haven't forgiven her, you know, for the, and that's been part of the problem. But, that's where I do feel like making an amends, you know, saying that I'm sorry, but then I'm right back there doing it again. It's just been worthless. And I'm really, really, really having to try harder about that. So I do feel like it does kind of come up, but and it also was a harsh thing to say. Maria.
Yeah, I feel like I'm hogging the meeting today, but yeah, I do have, because the connection between eating your feelings and trying. So just quick, short, my father passed. I have a really bad relationship to my stepmother. There was a lot of things that she did now where I have worked on myself and really focused on how to land this whole thing. Basically being I don't have to have any relationship with her necessarily after this. But want to do it in a nice way and not add to the stress of it. So I feel like working on how to, I feel I'm working on how to forgive myself and her, and I eat through it. And I'm trying to figure out another way to deal with these feelings that come up that is very based in childhood, to work on those. And I guess that has to do with self-forgiveness, because I constantly, as a, you know, because I also work in another program, and it's always about taking the blame and saying, I'm the one who did. I was probably the one who did wrong. I must have been me. So I'm thinking about forgiveness in relationship to food, because for me, it has a direct relationship because I eat my feelings. So it's just I just need to voice that out loud, to be able to figure out another way to deal with the forgiveness of it and also the food part of it. So anyway, I'm kind of just leaving that there. So thank you for again for all this.
That is all the time we have for today. Thank you for participating in this group. Together, we get better. If you'd like to hear recordings from past Alternative Step discussion meetings, you can check the Alternative 12 Steps page on the secularovereaters.org.
Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to support our efforts, please visit secularovereaters.org and consider making a donation.